From the Emory Wheel, I'm Gabriella Lewis. This is Wheel Talk. On Wednesday, January 6th, many in the Emory community were beginning to celebrate. They had just taken part in a historic election, sending a Black pastor and young Jewish filmmaker to the Senate and flipping control of Congress for Democrats. Many Emory students had spent hundreds of hours working this past semester to see this become a reality, holding voter registration drives and volunteering on campaigns. But the celebrations would quickly come crashing down as American democracy witnessed one of its darkest moments. That afternoon, insurrectionists incited by Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol building in an effort to stop the counting of certified electoral ballots. Images and videos of the siege sent shockwaves across the nation. I spoke with news reporter Keelan Bailey and Matthew Shupak, who covered Emory's reaction to the election and the Emory student caught in the Capitol siege. Hi, Keelan.
Hey, Gabriella.
So can you explain to us a little bit about what you've been covering in the past week or so in regards to national politics and the events that have happened in the past week at the Capitol?
So I put out a story the day after the Capitol insurgency happened, and obviously it was a huge national event. I think a lot of students, even though we're on winter break, are watching the news. They're really shaken by this news. But there were a few members of the Emory community directly impacted. There's a couple students in Washington at the time, and of course, also the academic community at Emory has really been responding to this national tragedy.
Can you tell us a little bit about the specific reactions from the Emory community, both on an institutional level and also kind of on a student level?
So President Gregory Fenves put out a statement on Twitter shortly after the attack. He called the insurgency antithetical to American ideals and said the Emory community stands united by those ideals with great concern for all those impacted. There were also members of the Emory academic community, primarily in the political science department, who signed on to an online open letter calling for removal of President Trump, whether through the invocation of the 25th Amendment or through the impeachment process.
And so, like you said before, there were also students who were obviously involved with this. You know, there are hundreds of Emory students who live in the D.C. metro area and even those who work on the Hill. And so there's been a tweet and a picture that's kind of been circulating the Emory community and Twitter in general of Emory sophomore Virginia Brown, who's a Senate intern who was actually there for the insurgency and had to be evacuated. Can you tell us who Virginia is and what happened to her on Wednesday?
She's specifically a chamber assistant, so she helps out on the Senate floor with things like setting up for speeches. I was able to speak to her the day after the insurgency, and she did clarify to me and to the Wheel that that Twitter post that has gone semi-viral now is actually from earlier in the day. So part of her duties that day were to take the electoral vote, which came in those big leather boxes, to the House. She was involved in the evacuation process. She spoke a lot about what the experience was like for her. She's been working on the Hill for several years now. And she told me about what it was like being there during the attacks as people were breaking into the Capitol, eventually as she was evacuated to a nearby building.
So we were there for the joint session of Congress, and our role was essentially just going to be to take the Electoral College ballots over to the House from the Senate floor. So we ended up getting through Arizona, and they were doing they have 2 hours of speeches after each objection. So they were doing Arizona, and in the middle of that, there was word that there was protesters getting closer to the building, and I work on the floor as an intern, so you could hear them kind of breaking down the barricades outside. It kind of progressed, it started out like the senators stopped speaking and they got everyone into the chamber and locked down the doors. I ended up being, they kind of all grouped us together, so I was in the same kind of security group as the senators because we were all on the floor together, and obviously they're the most high priority people. A lot of staffers were locked away in other offices, but I was, like, we were walking down the stairs when we were evacuating, and I was behind Senator McConnell. And it's weird, because in that situation, it doesn't really matter who you are. I was standing next to a bunch of people who are on the news every day, and then a bunch of people who you wouldn't recognize if you saw them. So I think it was kind of in that moment, everyone was the same, and I think that was a bit humbling, because we were all going through this incredibly terrifying experience, and we had no idea what was going to happen, because the way the building is set up, the chamber is kind of in the center. So it felt like we were kind of being trapped from the outside in. So the fact that it didn't get as violent as it could have, I think we were all grateful for that. I was checking and texting my family because they were worried because they had heard people were starting to break down the barricades. So I was just texting them. I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but I'm safe. But you could see broken windows. And there was a ton of debris. And even after the fact, 6-7 hours later, you could feel the tear gas in the rotunda. You could kind of feel yourself choking when you walked through, because we still had to go back and take the house another time that evening. It was weird to do business as usual after the fact, but I'm definitely looking forward to going back to work. I think that letting these people win, in a sense, is the worst thing we can do. We can't let them terrorize us and be afraid, which is why I was honestly thankful that we went back into session last night and finished certifying the vote, because I think that's what these people wanted, was to scare us out of doing our job.
What does this mean for your experience now, do you think, when you look back on it?
I think I'm definitely going to be a little bit more wary of my surroundings just in general. And I think that in the future, just working for ways to have more peaceful conflicts, because I feel like this shouldn't have gotten to the point that it did. And there's a lot of people who are at fault, because I don't think that in any other civilized democracy, people should be breaking into the legislature and trying to destroy it.
So I guess as a DC native, who are you disappointed in right now?
I think that whoever was outside guarding the building is definitely largely at fault. The way they handled it was not appropriate. They did not take any sort of protective measures. They let all these people get up. And I think that it's not that they don't have the capability, they didn't want to, because I've seen them use the same excessive force against peaceful protesters. And I've had friends who were just walking through DC over the summer during the Black Lives Matter protests and were hit with rubber bullets and tear gassed. So I think the fact that they have those capabilities but just elected not to use them is pretty disgraceful.
There's a lot of Emory students who have been very tuned in to this political event, which my colleague Matthew Chupak has been covering.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Gabriella.
So you've been covering the runoff very closely. And, you know, when the rest of the country was done voting on November 3rd, Georgians were kind of halfway done voting. So just as a quick rundown, the first race was a regular scheduled Senate race between Democrat John Ossoff and incumbent Republican David Perdue. John Ossoff won that. And then there was a special election after Senator Isaacson recently stepped down, which was between Republican incumbent Kelly Loeffler and Democrat Reverend Raphael Warnock. Reverend Raphael Warnock also won that seat. This election was historic for many reasons. First, demographically, John Ossoff is the first Jewish senator to ever be elected in Georgia, as well as will also be the youngest sitting senator currently. And Reverend Warnock is the first Black senator ever elected in Georgia and the first Black Democrat ever elected in the South to the Senate. Additionally, these races were incredibly expensive, some of the most expensive races in American history. Both Democrats and Republicans were pouring millions and millions of dollars into this race. This race also determined the control of the Senate, which subsequently decided the control of the whole government. Democrats have a Democratic trifecta for the first time in over 10 years. And I think it was especially important for Emory students because they were in this unique position of being able to vote and being able to organize. So can you tell us kind of how students are feeling about this Democratic win?
Democratic students are feeling very excited and happy that both Ossoff and Warnock won their runoff elections. And students, especially students participating in Young Dems and Emory Fair Fight, are really stressing the importance Emory and Emory students played in facilitating these victories, including nonpartisan organizations on campus did a lot to really get out the vote. And on the Republican student side, they either did not respond for comment or they requested to not be contacted again.
So before the election, we did another episode on Georgia. And, you know, this has kind of been what a lot of politically minded people have been focusing on for the past couple of weeks. And we spoke with some other professors, such as Dr. Bernard Fraga and Dr. Alan Abramowitz, who, you know, didn't really predict whether it would be a Democratic or a Republican victory, but said that it was going to be a close race and that it was. And they both of them said that it was possible for Democrats to win, but like I said, it was not going to be easy. Biden just won the state. It was definitely not certain, both from, you know, I think voter standpoint and the expert standpoint. Can you explain some of the trends that actually made the win for Democrats possible?
I spoke to Dr. Alan Abramowitz, who's an esteemed political scientist, and he explained some of the voter trends to me. One of these voter trends was the very high turnout among Black Democratic voters. He said that over 90% of Black Democrats who turned out in the November election turned out in the runoff election, which is a very high turnout rate.
So Democrats are able to basically turn out a larger share of their voters than Republicans. The overall turnout was very high for a runoff election. It was like almost 90%, very close to 90% of the November vote, which is remarkable. More people voted in this runoff election than in the 2016 presidential election.
Abramowitz also explained that the high Democratic voter turnout was due to Democratic grassroots organizing among many different organizations like Fair Fight and the work of Stacey Abrams.
But the Democrats did a better job of getting the supporters out. Part of it was that Democrats were able to register and turn out a bunch of new voters that didn't vote in November. So some of them were people, you know, like young people who just turned 18, but others were just people who were either not registered or just didn't vote. In 2008, when there was a Senate runoff election in Georgia, the turnout fell from 3.7 million down to 2.1, I believe. So it was only about 56%. This time it was 90%. Obviously, there was much higher interest level, much more intense campaigning, much more effort, especially on the Democratic side. I think on both sides, but especially the Democratic side, to mobilize a lot of door-to-door contact, which even more so than in the November election.
So obviously, like Abramowitz said, there was this huge Democratic effort and organizing. But I think a lot of people are wondering, did Trump's loss and continued undermining of the electoral process play a role in this Republican loss potentially?
Republicans still hit their target turnout numbers in terms of how many voters they expected to show up on Election Day. However, it's possible that Trump's rhetoric that the presidential election was rigged caused Republican voters to not have confidence in the election system and therefore not turn out to vote. And it's also possible that because Trump was not on the ballot this time, some of his core supporters did not turn out to vote. However, Abramowitz explained that the real story he sees is that Democrats were just much more motivated to turn out than Republicans.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Wheel Talk. Listen and subscribe to Wheel Talk wherever you regularly get your podcasts. I'll see you soon. Wheel Talk is produced by Kaylin Chin, Isaiah Poritz, Gabriella Lewis, and Madison Bober. Cover art by Kaylin Chin and music by Kevin McLeod.